We're going to discuss the second half of Upsharon. So till now we discussed predominantly the haircutting. We'll talk a little bit more about the haircutting. But we're really going to talk about a whole different part of Upsharon, which has much better sources to it. Much better sourced, the element of Upsharon, than the actual haircutting event. But we talked last week heavily, and the week before, about the haircutting and the cutting. But Lamais, if you look in certain communities, predominantly Yekki communities, they're not only not into Upsharons, they're anti-upsharons. It means there's a controversy brewing somewhere here, right? Meaning not only are they like, whatever, I'll give the kid a haircut, whatever, but Dafka will not give a kid the haircut at 3 because there's something fishy over here. Now, what could be fishy? So push-up shot, the way I look at things is if there's no source for something, I don't do it. So it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch to cut your kid's hair when it's 3, so you cut it whenever you want. 2, 1, depending on, you know, that's the way most of us would have looked at the sugya. But interestingly enough, the Nitta Gavriel brings us up to some controversy over here, which is always fun. He writes in number 1, he says, U'besifrei minhagi Ashkenaz. And the Svarim, dating back to the minhagi Ashkenaz, lo nimsa zeche me minhagi tiglachas, there's no recognition, no reference. Lo'i b'rishoinim v'lo'i b'achroinim. In what we'll call, Ashkenazic world, so you have to remember, right, going back to the times of the Rishonim, there was a large presence in Germany and France. That's where the Rishonim lived. And then they moved over to other parts of Europe. But in Ashkenazic literature, you don't find anyone talk about this haircutting. And then he quotes the Sefer V'Kosef Kain, Keser Shem Toiv, Uba Elu Harotza, meaning London, Lo Yinayda Lehem Minig Zeh. We never heard of this minhag. You speak to Yekkis, it's not even on the radar. What's up, Shem? What is that? Again, today everything became different because today you'll find Litvisha people that celebrate Upsharons. But it used to be Upsharon was a strictly Hasidic based thing. And the truth is, it's not 100% fair to blame it on the Hasidim or to attribute it to Hasidim because we'll see they were not the ones who invented this Chiddush. This was probably an Israeli based minhag or maybe even an Egyptian based minhag / Israeli based minhag. And the Hasidim just picked it up from there and ran with it. So now, why would you be against Upsharons? Yeah, here, listen, you don't want to be pro it, I get it. But what's there to be against? So he writes over here, the Chochem Echer Amaliyah, and someone told me, Shatam Shebe'emes Lohi Oisim Shum Chagiga B'yam Teglachas. They did not make a big deal about the haircuts. Shechashashu, they were worried, L'chukas HaGoyim. They were worried that this might be copying the ways of the Goyim. Why? Shehayu Noigim Kazeh. Apparently, there is some practice in the secular Goyish world where they celebrate haircutting. There's a certain community and a group of Avodah Zarah, Bikzeh Oilam, at the other end of the world. That's their practice. So you gotta Google this to find where this is. I think it's somewhere really on the other side of the world, not near where Europe is. But they, at 3 years old, they make a hair cutting party experience. Now, if anyone remembers, we had a shiur. I remember how long ago it was, because right before my daughter's bas mitzvah, which is about a year and change ago, where we spoke about bas mitzvahs, we mentioned there was a tshuva from some achrayim that bas mitzvahs was chukas ha-goyim. Because apparently the goyim have a celebration for bas mitzvahs. We pointed out that to the best of our knowledge, there is no 12-year-old birthday party. It's more like a sweet 16 birthday party. That's really true. But okay, 4 years off here and there, you can, I guess, understand it. But here also, apparently there's some chukas ha-goyim where they make a big celebration when a kid turns 3 and they cut his hair. Oh, so we don't want to be like the goyim. So he writes, so Reb Nitta Gavriel of Gavriel's. Right, so that's always a question. Who came first? Right. So if you remember when we talked about Hanukkah presents, we mentioned Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that they stole that from us. We were giving presents before the Christians were giving presents, which is probably true. But for something like this, we don't really have the literature to back it up because this whole thing doesn't really, it's not discussed in the Rishonim. It's not discussed till 1500s, 1600s, so maybe, who came first? So Nitta Gavriel says, no, chas v'shalom, it can't be that we took up Shens from the guy. Why? So he defends it. And he writes, achal adayti chshajdeh mufrich l'gami. This issue is, in itself, is disproved. Why? Reishis she'ein mokim loyim shechach me'ashkenaz yadu mikadzu shemizhagim kein b'ktzei tzeval. He says, first of all, there's no way Eastern, Western European Jews knew what was going on the other side of the world over there. This is like a far-flung, I think it's even like in an Indian tribe or like an African tribe, like on the other side of the world that does it. See, you tell me that the Jews of Ashkenaz knew about this and that's why they didn't do it? He finds it hard to believe. Again, today that wouldn't surprise anyone. Today you can know everything. But okay. The Shainis, he says, and secondly, there's a fundamental difference between us and what they do. By us, it's not about the haircut. He says, by us, it's not about cutting the hair. But what's special for us is that we leave the peyos, right? He's like a lumdish angle over here. By us, it's not about the haircut. Even though everyone's like, oh, I love your haircut. He looks so cute in the haircut. It's not the godless. It's not his haircut. The godless is what? That he left his pace. That you instead of shaving all the kid fully, you left his pace. I had a guy in my shul the other day. He came back after like Bayim. I said to him, where'd you go to the barber? He mamish chopped off your pace. The cholach shittas. Right, we know there's different shittas. The guy mamish. I said, where'd you go? No, I went to a barber. I said, was he? Yeah, from guy. I said, what did he do over here? So you get a haircut, and before you know it, the pay is gone. You got to be careful. So the whole godless of the upshot is not, oh, look how cute he is now without his hair. The godless is, look, now he has pay. It's like a mensch. So he says, that's the difference. He says, Elish ha-shorah, ha-shorah, ha-pay, ha-shu, mitzvah, min ha-toyah, ha-shu, ikri, v'tok, v'sham, minuk. Ulam, minigo, akum, ikri, l'galech, kol ha-pay. He says, okay, their whole thing is, shave it all off. Hey, oh, shave his whole head off. Look now how he looks without his hair. He says, "Ulchein ain't lekach shum dimin chas v'sham." Therefore, there is absolutely no comparison to what we do versus what they do. We're doing a ceremony. We're doing a payas ceremony. They're doing a haircut ceremony. So their haircut ceremony is what they. We do something else. We are again. This is the one thing which I think is not. And I had an upshot this week. It was definitely not. I tried to make it clear to everyone. We're not celebrating anything more than the fact that he's leaving his pace. That's the ganze simcha, which we'll see why is that a reason for celebration in a second. But that's the whole idea. The whole idea is it's about the leaving of the pace, not about, oh, now he has no hair, now he looks like a boy, and now he looks cute. No, that's not the point. The point is now he has payas. The hashras ha-payas is the entire godless of this event. Then he writes, v'adirabah, siyas ha-payas, tokful lehepach. Then he quotes the Rambam, which we mentioned in passing before, that the whole reason why we have payas is to stand out from the goyim. Right? One of the reasons why we have a mitzvah payas is so we bedavka look different than the goyim. So he doesn't believe, but I did see in other svarim that this is taka one of the reasons why certain communities, predominantly Yakis, are not into this. Because they hold it's chukas ha-goyim, it's mamish considered ways of the goyim. They don't want anything to do with this. Because of this makor, to which the Nitzan Gavriel seems to think it's not true. Okay, so we know that it used to be, things have changed. But it used to be upsharons were more of a Hasidic-based experience, not so much in the Lutzish world. So someone once came to the Briska Rav and asked him to cut here for an upsharon. Now, I would never suggest anyone to do that. That's like, bad idea. But listen to what the Briska Rav told him. Number two. Pam egia odam echa lemaran agris. In Benaya Katan. Someone came to the Briska Rav with his young son. Ubikesh mimaran agris. She yigzer lebenaya katan. That's how Rosef. And he wanted the Briska Rav to cut the first here. Very beautiful. He gave, so if you remember, last week we quoted from the stipler, that when the stipler was there, he would push the guy out, he would ask him to leave nicely, and that's why he came to him. That was the stipler's attitude. Okay, so what do you think the Briska Rav was? The stipler was more Hasidic than the Briska Rav was. Briska Rav is hardcore Litvish. What do you think the Briska Rav said? He give Maran Agriz, ich ben nicht kein Scheirer. I'm not a barber. That was the Briska Rav's response. Hey, what do you offer me? I'm not a barber. Leave me alone. I'm not a barber. But oisa shoy hisbe oisa goin shlita lemayv rebbe goin mishalom David Salvechik. So someone who was there said, well, again, if you're a real brisker, everything the brisker said needs a shtickle tire behind it. Most of us would understand what the brisker meant very simply. He said, what? I don't buy into this. Leave me alone. I'm not a barber. But he said, no, I'll tell you what the brisker meant. A tesefes beer into the words of the brisker. What did the brisker really mean? Es a beer b'divi maron agriz dihine. Hare im yesh adam saris arucho yis. So the brisker like this. Let's say a guy has long hair. Guy has long hair, a hippie. He says, Lamaisa, the guy's not in a violation of shaving his payas because he has payas. Yeah, no, he's got longer. He's a fruma. He's got longer payas, right? He's got long payas. This is the literal way to look at an upshot. What you're really doing by the upshot is you're not making payas. If you leave the kid the way he is with long hair, he's also making the mitzvah of payas. So, Norvos, what are you doing? You're cutting his hair just for the sake of cutting his hair. Because again, with the long hair, he also has payas, says the Briska Rav.
This way it stands out.
Oh, so Dr. Briska Rav, Norvos, what do you want me to do? You want me to be a barber? You want me to take, meaning, if I be giving him the mitzvah of payas, says Dr. Briska Rav, I hear, I'm doing a mitzvah. But I'm not, because he has payas with the long hair also. So all I'm really doing is giving the kid a haircut, says the Briska Rav, I'm not a barber. That's the pshat. I'm not a barber. So the Biskrov was basically pointing out that, all this hoopla that we keep on talking about the upsharon, you're giving him payas. He has payas without it. You just don't see it. When the kid has long hair, he also has payas. It's not like he doesn't have payas but long hair. So we answer, no, the pshat is that when you're cutting your seer, you're showing, we're cutting everything except for this. Says Biskarov, don't cut anything, leave it the way it is. That was the Biskarov's outlook on upshot. Again, obviously, I don't think I'd go to a brisker to cut an upshot. I gladly took my son to the Tanker Rebbe in Bar Park. Zisa, Ramosha Biksonolo. Very Zisa, he made a whole big deal out of it. It was very beautiful, beautiful. You know, a Litvisha wouldn't be able to have such an experience. You know what? Okay, that's, everyone's different. Got my Rebbe, Reb Kalman Epstein, he's not a Chassidisha, he's a big Litvisha. And he told me that over the years he started to be more open to people coming and him cutting the hair for them. I said, really? I said, Rebbe so Litvish? Yeah, it makes people happy, so I'll do it. Which is what Reb Chaim Kanevsky started doing with Saif Yomov. His father was against it, but Reb Chaim Kanevsky did a lot of it. You can see a video on Lagbaim, he's just sitting cutting there all day. Lagbaim, he was just cutting a whole day. You know, sometimes you have to just go with what the people want to make them feel good. But the Biskarov wasn't overly into the hair cutting. But they asked something to Reb Chaim Kanevsky, which made me feel very good when I read it. It validated a point that we're bothered with. You know, you speak to people about upshur and they tell you, upshur is a medrash. The Medrash says that your kid's hair is like an early tree, and you're not allowed to cut an early tree. That's beautiful, except that's not true. There's no such Medrash that says those words. And we pointed this out a couple times. And I was very happy to see Reb Chaim Kanevsky also pointed it out. If you look over here, number 3, in the Sefer Derech Sicha, this is Reb Chaim Kanevsky's Sefer on Chumash. So someone asked him, Im yesh mekor lezeh lesaper sarus kot nedavkim lois legim ushan. Is there any source to bedavka cut the kid's hair at 3, meaning not earlier, not later? Tshuva. Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, who minig Yerushalayim. It's Yerushalmi minig. Not a Chassidish minig. It's Yerushalmi minig. If you remember, the Stipler said the same thing. When the Stipler was against Upsharon, so his Talmud said to him, oh, it's a Chassidish thing. The Stipler said, no, it's not a Chassidish thing. It's an Eretz Yisrael thing. Here he's saying it's Yerushalmi thing. But the original origins of Upsharon did not start with the Chassidic movement of the 18th century, but rather I would say it started sometime in Eretz Yisrael, probably around the 1600s. And then the Chassidim picked it up and ran with it and, you know, brought it more and more to what it is today. So he says, what's the Makar? Hu minig Yerushalayim al pi mashakosu b'medesh tanchum al apasa gimel shonam arelim shako al akotin acha gimel shonam yelamdu teira. Avo loikosu av le'enin tespiris. These words made me feel very good about myself because I was very bothered. When we learned the Medrash, we asked this kash. The Medrash doesn't say a word about tespiris. Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, that's true. There's not a word in that Medrash that says you're not allowed to cut your kids here. Avo Mishom, Mikairim, but that's where they get it from. Meaning, Reb Chaim Kanevsky is addressing our kasha. The truth is, Daruga Sabaisim addressed this kasha. We spoke about it the first week. He tried to be mazber this. But at the end of the day, the whole medrash that everyone gets the Mikar of Upsharon from doesn't even say what they say it says. Svamish said a very interesting thing. But that's what everyone says. Everyone says the kids are an Arla and Arla, you're not allowed to cut, so you're not allowed to cut the kids here. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful speech and an Upsharon. Except for the fact it's not true. There is no such medrash. The medrash doesn't say that. The medrash says he's like an arla, and therefore he doesn't talk. And you don't teach him Torah till he turns 3. Good, so don't teach him Torah till he turns 3. Doesn't say a word about his hair. But that's what it is. He says, Avol zerak le'inyin shelefnei gimel shonim loy. That only teaches me that I shouldn't do it before 3 years. Avol le'inyin b'mlois gimel shonim davka v'efshir gam achakach. But says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, but once he hits 3, it doesn't say he can't do it afterwards. So Reb Chaim Kanevsky argues on what we quoted from the Apraxa Da'anya, that Rav from Romania, who said, no, you can't push it off. Once it hits his mind, you have to. Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, nah, you can delay. It's not the end of the world. It's not such a big deal. And then Reb Chaim Kanevsky points out, like he pointed out earlier, that there seems to be a Gemara Moed Katan, which says, Mefurish, you're allowed to give a kid a haircut before he turns 3. We mentioned that Gemara, where the Gemara says that you're allowed to give a kid a haircut on Chol HaMoed, even if he was born before Yom Tov, you're allowed to give him a haircut. So that's, that's Reb Chaim Kanevsky's approach to upsharons. It's interesting. I got it with my son. We had a tricky shaila because he was born during Svira. So the question is, when do you give the haircut? Do you do it during Svira or do you wait for Lag B'Omer? So we got it, gave him the haircut on Lag B'Omer. Everyone's like, oh, so he was born on Lag B'Omer? I said, no. He was born before Lag B'Omer. So the question is, should we have given him the haircut during Svira? So Rabbi Ephraim Gribat has a tshuva where he really thinks that perhaps it's more correct, or at least perhaps, you could have given him the haircut during Svira. Why? He says over here, because it's considered a tespirishal mitzvah. It says, it's parishal mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah. So he writes over number 4 in Rivei Sefraim. He says, we'll skip to towards the end. He writes, V'im kein gam kein kotin shenasa sholoshonim v'oz ha-minigu l'galchon v'lasis lehem peyes gam kein mutzvah umutah l'galchon. The exact opposite of Biskarov. Biskarov said that the barber's not doing any mitzvah, he's just giving the kid a haircut. Says Rivei Sefraim, no, you're giving him a mitzvah, you're giving him peyes. So Rivei Sefraim, that's a mitzvah, you could do it during Sefira. But he says, but in the minig Yerushalayim is to wait for Lag BaOmer. Then came Bavadei Roish im Lagilach Lag BaOmer. Okay, so he writes over here that he really thinks Meikar Adin, it should be mutter because it's called the Giluach Shal Mitzvah. It's a big chiddush, Giluach Shal Mitzvah. Okay, if you take a look at in number five, Rabbi Menashe Klein also addresses this question, and he grad it sounds even stronger. He says, "Well, chenir demi shiratzah shleilakev a mitzvah. If you want to chab the mitzvah right away, vaday motol adigalech miyad kishenasa ben shalishon. You can do it right away." But people like me who waited till Agbaimir, says Rabbi Menashe Klein, you have who rely on. Gam king tell the halas simcha uvavad sheyia libam l'shemayim. So he mamish holds that you probably should have done it during Sfira. Some people hold you do it during the 3 weeks also. These are, you know, important events. We're supposed to do them as soon as possible. Yeah. I would think so. Right. He's assuming that this taglachas is a serious mitzvah. And because this taglachas is a serious mitzvah, it somehow trumps the rules of Avelis and the rules of Sfira. It's a big chiddush. Exactly. Right. I put these two together. The two opposite opinions. Now, if you just take a look with me on the bottom left corner for a second, number six, another interesting point of history that the Nitzan Gavriel brings out. He says, "V'rab is sefer Masos Eretz Yisrael." He says, if you look in the sefer called Masos Eretz Yisrael, the travels of Eretz Yisrael, shehevi kama mechtovim bimei harishonim, where there's letters dating back to the times of the Rishonim, Harambam v'Rabbeinu Shmuel v'Reb Shimon v'Tamidei Ramban, shemesivavos Yerushalayim v'mesuyim v'mitzrayim boim am godol l'shtateach al kever Shmuel HaNavi. Do you know what the hot spot used to be in the times of the Rishonim? It wasn't Rashbi. It wasn't Meiron. The hot spot of travel was Shmuel HaNavi's Kever. That's where people used to go. And he says, we have documents. That in the times of the Rishonim, that's where they used to travel. And the minhag used to be that you would buy the rights, or you would donate the oil to for the lights, or for the oil, for the shul in that area. Again, Shmuel's Yotzei is Chof Ches Ir, which is only about a few days off of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is Yud Ches Ir. It's in Yerushalayim, right? A few years before. So you see where we're going a little bit. Shmuel Hanavi's Kever was where people used to visit. They used to make fires there. Again, I'm not saying this is the Meiron fires, but this was the original Makor, the times that we showed him. Again, I'm on his yard, which is Chav Ches Ir, which is about 10 days before Lag BaOmer. Hey, Lag BaOmer is Yud Ches Ir, about give or take. Now again, the whole Meiron trip on Lag BaOmer is also not found really in the Rishonim. But he writes over here, Muchach, this is the Nitzan Gavriel's Chiddush. Muchach shebimei Rishonim hayu aminig lalos lekever shel Shmuel HaNavi ulalek from theirs. At least we have documentary in the times of the Rishonim, people would go visit Shmuel HaNavi, and there were fires involved. Because Radvaz, who was already 15th century, he writes tshuvas where people used to go have their kids get haircuts by Shmuel HaNavi. So he's just pointing out that you see Shmuel HaNavi's kever was a place for visitors. And somehow it trickled down that from visitors became haircuts to somehow then it jumped to Rashbi. But it could be originally, the original minhag was that people used to go to Shmuel HaNavi's kever, not necessarily to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's kever. Now, it's interesting, if you go back to number seven for a second, the Shari Tshuva.
So this is kind of an old
Makom,
or a mention.
Now we have at least something in the Rishonim about something about going, but again, it's not Rashbi, but it's at least going to an Adam Gadol. That's what we pointed out. Now, the Shari Tshuva was the brother for the haircutting, which is what many people still do today. So if you look at the Shari Tshuva was authored by the brother of the Mat Ephraim, right? This was name was Mordechai. No. Ephraim Margolis was the Mat Ephraim, the Shari Ephraim, we all know of him. But he had a brother, his name was Chaim Mordechai Margolis, who wrote the Sefer Shari Tshuva. He quotes from a Sefer called Gan HaMelech. Now, who was the Gan HaMelech? The Gan HaMelech was Avram ben Mordechai Halevi, 1650 to 712. Now, why am I giving you these years? Because we're going to use this as a reference to see how early, one of the earliest discussions of Upsharon dates back. And that's a pretty early time. 1650 to 7, we're talking about, that's relatively early. He lived in Egypt and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Why is that important? Look what he writes. Says the Shari Tshuva, this is in Hilchos Chol Hamoed. He quotes from the Gan HaMelech, U'motor la'hashoy simchas ha'teglacha sho'oysen l'katin k'day l'hargal ha'simcha v'moed. He says you're allowed to delay, push off, reschedule the upsharing to fall out on Chol Hamoed. U'mitzvah nami ikka b'kach. And there's even a mitzvah to do it. So that means that one of the earliest sources for the celebration of an upsharing is this Gan HaMelech, who lived in Eretz Yisrael and in Egypt, around the end of the 17th century, beginning of the 18th century. So that's, again, the earliest that I could find in sources where there's some discussion of its significance. Ah, we're going to get to that kasha in a second. Vo'inyin shel ha'simcha hu minig Eretz Yisrael. And this whole thing is an Israeli minig. Gam kein she'oisin simcha b'teglachas ha'rishayna shel katan. That they make a celebration on... So again, like the stipple said, this is not a chassidish minig. It's an Israeli minig. Israel didn't exist for the next 400 years. It's a Eretz Yisrael minhag, right? Or if you want to be more politically right, they'd call it a Palestine minhag, because that's what it was called in the 1700s. But it's not a Chassidish minhag, because Chassidism didn't exist predominantly in these years. So it wasn't a Chassidish minhag. Yeah.
Are they saying it's a mitzvah?
I'll get to that in a second. We'll talk about whether or not it's like a Sudas mitzvah. Let's say a Sudas, is it really a Sudas mitzvah? What is this? How strong can this be? So if you take a look in the Sefer Pu'ulas Tzadik, so the Pu'ulas Tzadik again, a Temani, big Gadol, Svadish Gadol also, Temani, Eretz Yisrael, again, 1700s. Again, this is not the Rishonim, but 1700s. So he writes, Hanoig the minig was, Keshem Aschilim Legaleach Lekotin Kiben Beishon Magimel. When you start to give a haircut, either at two or three, so right away you see, they weren't stuck on this three-year-old thing, Teglachas HaKotin Oysin Suda. You make a Suda. And it's like a dancing of simcha. I mean, it's not a birthday party. My wife kept on hacking me about the upshot. I kept on telling her it's a birthday party. He's saying it's not a birthday party. It's like maybe a Sudas mitzvah. So I wanted to know, is it a Sudas mitzvah that you get your money back for it? Right now, you make Sudas mitzvahs, you get you paid back, right? Right, Sudas Shabbos, Sudas Yom Tov. I want to know, is it a Sudas upshot like that also? I'm still waiting to find out. Okay. But he calls it a Sudas. He doesn't call it a Sudas mitzvah. I don't know what he means exactly. He says it's a Suda Shal Simcha. Oh, he says, Ulazu Asuda Karin La Suda Shal Mitzvah. I'm sorry. He calls it Suda Shal Mitzvah. That's a big comment. It's not a birthday party. It's Taka Suda Mitzvah. He says, V'chein Shemati Kama Pomim. The Nafkamina. He says, there's a practical Nafkamina. Why is there a practical Nafkamina? Let's say a guy makes an edu. He only goes to Suda Mitzvahs. He doesn't go to Suda Shal Mishas. Is he allowed to go to an upsharing? So it depends. If an upshare is a Suda mitzvah, he's allowed to go. If an upshare is not, he's not allowed to go. So he mamish paskins, this pool of tzaddik. Again, his name was Reb Chia Tzalachi. Definitely sounds tzaddik, right?
Is it a current minute
for tzaddik?
What? Is it a current minute?
I would think so. I would think for them, it's definitely. Yes. Definitely, Frat is, you know, the Eretz Yisrael dikas svadim. So he writes, it's a Suda mitzvah. Again, very big chiddush. So Frank, Menashe Klein, David's question. If it's taka, such a simcha, what happened to Eimar v'simcha v'simcha? Why are we so into pushing it? But dafka to be on Chol Hamoed, what happened to Eimar v'simcha v'simcha? So Menashe Klein asks this question number 9. Omnam.
Ktsas. It's a mitzvah, then it's not considered. They hold it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's not considered.
That's not true.
Eimar v'simcha. Of course it is. It's a mitzvah.
Every mitzvah. What do you mean? Getting married is also a mitzvah, maybe. And we say Eimar v'simcha v'simcha on that, right? That's the classical Mishnah Moed Katan. Michael, you don't remember once you asked me about having a siyum at a Pidyon HaBen? What was it? Something. Noah made something. He wanted to make a siyum at a Sheva Brachas.
Right.
Right, so we had that Shaila, right? Can you make a siyum at a Sheva Brachas or you say Eimar v'simcha v'simcha? It was such a din. They do at the wedding, Stag? I never seen that before. That's a new thing?
I know.
Oh, really? Maybe I'm in the wrong crowd. I don't know.
What did he say?
He said, Chassana make siyumim at the chassan's tish. I never saw that before. Maybe the people I know have nothing to make siyumim on. I don't know. But that's impressive. Okay, very good. So what about, again, so the truth is we should probably one day talk about what's beged the aim arvet simcha b'simcha. But I'll call upon him. Rabbi Nasha Klein asked that question, number 9. He says, I'm tzaz sarachin al bala gan ha-melech. I don't understand the gan ha-melech. The pshitalei the motel hashi simcha z'glach z'chol ha-moy k'di l'hagla simcha ha-moyir. Ulechayr et sarachiyen mehoda amru ein nashin nashin b'chol ha-moyir. We don't make chasan z'chol ha-moyir. Shem ne'eva am simcha b'simcha. V'akavonish le'lechsa mi simcha z'chag shet zivanu ba. We don't want to take away from one simcha. So why are you going? The God HaMelech said the practice used to be we would go out of our way to bedafka schedule the upsharon to be on Chol HaMoed. Why? But then it's going to take away from the Chol HaMoed experience. And Neymar v'simcha v'simcha. Okay, sounds like fact Rabbi Asher Klein. I'll call upon him. You see a little bit, at least starting from the 1700s, 1800s, they took the upsharon simcha very seriously. But the truth is, you have to ask yourself a very legitimate question, which is number 10 over here, is, Lemaisa, what's the mitzvah? What mitzvah are you mekayim when you give the kid a haircut? Right, we saw, Rabbi Ephraim Grumbach called it the teglach hashal mitzvah. What exactly is the mitzvah? All you're doing is, you're not being over olav. All you're doing is, you're not being over lois hakifu. What mitzvah are you doing?
It's the same question that we ask, like, by live bombing. What's the simpler? Because they stop dying.
Right. Say, sometimes you have to ask, if I'm doing a positive thing, that's a mitzvah. Right. What am I doing over here? I'm not cutting his pace. It's like saying, let's make a party now because none of us are eating treif. Valdo, not eating treif. Do we ever make a celebration on not doing an aveira? So he asks this kasha over here, number 10. Ulam tam ze yoitzer yoitzer bayoitz mishuhu paiser. Great line. Maybe this makes more problems than it solves. Harepeus ain't an ase. There's no asay, ki im lois asay. Lois akifu pas reishchem. Umashayich las is chagiga avur I avira salaf. Very legitimate question. Without taking the whole geshmak out of the upsharon, well, Maisa, what are you celebrating? So good, you're telling me you're celebrating the payas. So again, what's the celebration? You're celebrating that you're not being over olaf. Since when do we do that? Okay, it's an interesting thing to think about, but akoponim. That's a kasha. It's a legitimate question on the whole notion of the celebration. Which brings it back to the original question, can it be a Suda's mitzvah? Is there possible that the whole mitzvah is not a mitzvah, it's only an i'averis alav, can that make it into a Suda's mitzvah? Okay.
Who's the Mechaber of the
Or Yisrael? This is a journal. The Or Yisrael is a journal that he quoted from a different guy. I actually have a friend of mine who was my Rosh Chabur in Yeshiva, so he has a sefer called Darki Ezri. So he has a whole pilpul, I didn't photocopy it, he has a whole pilpul on this shayla. He's a Rosh Chabur in Liquid today. He has a whole pilpul whether or not an upsharon is taka sudas mitzvah. Or he has rayas from Chaim Volozhin. There are a lot of interesting rayas about whether or not we can call a sudas mitzvah when there's no real mitzvah. It's just not being over olav. Interesting, something to think about. But I found over a tshuva from the Maran Brisk. Who is the Maran Brisk? So you think he's got to be from the Briska dynasty. No, he was an Hungarian. You can't get further away from the Briska style than the Hungarian style. Maran Brisk was a Mordechai. His name was a Mordechai Brisk. He was a Rav in Romania. He had a very large yeshiva in Hungary. He was a Talmud of the great Hungarian Rabbanim. And Nebuch, like most of Hungarian Jewry during this time of the year, he was murdered in Auschwitz with all his Talmidim and all his Kehillah. He was, like most of Hungarian Jewry, went very quickly in 1944. But he was a big, big choshev Hungarian Rav. He actually had an opportunity to be saved. He could have taken a shtetl in a different town that was actually saved, but he didn't want to move there because that town, they wouldn't promise him a yeshiva. A lot of these gedolim, Biyel Tarabam as well, they like to have a yeshiva and a shul. That was the dual jobs. Like the Chassam Sofer had both. Chassam Sofer was Rosh Yeshiva, and he was a Rav of a shul. Today it's not so popular. Today usually either a Rosh Yeshiva or a Rav. There are two jobs. There are a few yechidim who can pull it off today. But most people, there's enough jobs to go around so everyone can get a job. But so this Mordechai Brisk had an opportunity to take a rabbinic position in a different town. He would have been saved, but he didn't take the job because he couldn't have a yeshiva. So he stayed in Romania, the name of the town I can't pronounce, and he was taken like most of Hungarian Jewry between Pesach and Shavuos. He was killed in Auschwitz. So he has an interesting tshuva over here. It's just ironic that a Hungarian is going to have the name Brisk, because the Briska style and Hungarian style of learning is, night and day, two different worlds of learning. But he has an interesting tshuva over here, which I thought was just negeya to our topic. We have a whole new mahalach in what the haircutting is about. So we keep on emphasizing the haircutting has to do with the mitzvah of Pasa Roish, which still begs the question, why is that the only mitzvah we focus on? If you take the Medrash Kipshutoi, so this is the first time we're educating the kid in Torah. So I would think of a lot of other things to educate the kid in. Torah Siva Lano Moshe, payas is the first thing you teach the kid about. It's a lav. The kid would have to be creative. He'd have to get a pair of scissors and hire someone to cut his hair to be over this lav. Why don't we teach him about, positive things, doing this, Why is this the thing we teach him? So he comes up with a very interesting pshat. He writes, he goes along the lines of other gedolim, that the idea is that this is the first time we teach him about chinuch, but then the kash is, why this? This is the first thing you teach the kid about, his haircuts. So he says a very nice pshat. He writes, No. According to the real pshat is, we're being mechanechim in the mitzvah of pasarish. To which the kasha is, that's a lav. You're being mechanechim not to be over a lav. Okay, so then what's the big celebration? So he comes with a very nice pshat, okay? He says, in his day, Yeshlemer oid bezed avadi chinuch ha teiro chodohu im giluach anorim. He says, avadi chinuch starts with haircuts. Why the chinuch starts with haircuts? So he says, because one of the first thing a child needs to learn is not to be a balgaiva. Beautiful. I think it's a very important lesson. Kids have to learn, don't be haughty, don't think you're smarter than everyone, you're not smarter than your parents, you're not smarter than the teacher, you're not smarter than the rabbi, you're not smarter than the principal, you're not. You're still, you know, a kid. So he writes that one of the things that people used to have gaiva from was their hair. Besalsel besara, Yosef. A person has long, beautiful hair, it can lead to ego. So he says, the first thing we teach the kids, we get rid of all his hair, look at you. You're not beautiful, you're not special, you're not haughty, you're regular. He says, now we can start talking about being mechanechim in Torah. As long as he has that long hair, he's not going to go anywhere. He's going to be too busy, you know, thinking he's so beautiful, and therefore he says, the first thing that we have to do is we got to get rid of the hair. Once we get rid of the hair, then he's ready to be able to be mechanechim in Torah. Very nice. A nice idea for upshot. In any case, if we just continue on a few more nekudas about the haircutting, and we'll switch gears to the other part of upshot.
I would say it anyway, you know, low self and low hakari is something that you have to live with. So what else can you teach a kid that he looks very different?
Very good.
That is something that, I mean, that's also a lot, but, you
know, right. So we saw that from the Klausenberger. He said, what we're teaching a kid is an aleph beis is don't be like the guy. Right, which is a very important lesson today. Right, daf missing, you're a yid, you dress differently, you look different. Right, it's not exactly a mitzvah. It's a lav of don't go in the ways of the goyim. But he's at least explaining why we chose this one, because this one is going to define who he is, right? Once a kid learns from the get-go, you're a yid, you're different. You're different. You have to know you're different. Okay? Again, I think this all makes for great Torah if you ask to speak at an upsharon. You have plenty of material now to work with.
Put a yarmulke on a three-year-old boy, why would you achieve the same thing?
You do. No,
you take a yarmulke off, you can't go back
together. No, I'm saying, it really is the same thing. They write the square Rebbe was mocked, but he wouldn't put on a yarmulke until the kid had his haircut. But again, these are all, none of this is mochach 100% that has to be talizabizah. You could do, 100%, I think. All, again, if it was up to me, I probably would have given my kid a haircut a year ago. But my wife wanted to wait until three. Okay, so we waited until three. Yeah, no shaykhs. Nothing to do. My son now doesn't wear tzitzis. He doesn't like tzitzis. Okay. I'm not going to fight him. I'm happy with the yarmulke. Also, a lot of kids, they don't like it. It's an uncomfortable thing against their skin. I can't say I blame them. I know adults who don't like to wear tzitzis. So, I, you know. But again, they're not mechuyim in the end. To put on a, we had many shurim about tzitzis already, right? To put on a begadal confess for the kid not to be happy, there are those who write, you're not going to put the kid on tzitzis if he's not toilet trained yet. That's a practical, you don't want to be vaza the tzitzis, but the kid's already toilet trained, then you can put him on tzitzis. So Nita Gavriel very acutely writes over here that there's a hierarchy who gets the rights to cut the hair. So he writes, it's got to go Kohen Levi Yisrael. Like Vikidashta, like everything else. It goes Kohen Levi Yisrael. Then he brings down some really...
Where do we get in from the Rebbe? Is that the first one?
That's the first one. That we already saw. Maybe that's why he used to go to the Gedolim. They had a Raya. Who saw this? Someone brought this Raya. That they used to go to the Kever Shmuel HaNavi. So he's supposed to go to a Tzadik for the first cutting. Okay. So he brings down an interesting school over here. This is very interesting. He quotes a Sefer Segulas Yisrael. You know where we're going. This is a commentary, a Sefer I found. He quotes a Sefer called Segulas Yisrael. Ephraim Grober likes to say this. We're an Am Segula, not an Am Shel Segula. We're a nation, we're all obsessed with Segulas. Everything's a Segula, Segula, Segula. Okay. It's a good point. So he writes over here this Sefer Segulas Yisrael. Yesh noigim lushkol ha-sa'aris achat tiglachas b'zahava b'kesef. He's supposed to weigh the hair of the child against gold and silver. The noisten ha-mois l'tztaka. And the value of the hair you give to tztaka. The oimim, they say, shu skula shi ha-ben chochem b'teir v'yir yir shemayim v'yarech yamim. It's a skula, the kid will be a ben teir, yir shemayim, and I'll have a long life. U'minig bal minuchas al-diyazer, and the munkacher, b'yem tiglachas nechtoi, when he would give an option to his grandson, shalokach kol sar roish ha-yelet. Right, the munkacher Rebbe had no sons. Munkach Rebbe was married twice. His first marriage, he didn't have any children. I think from the second marriage, he had that one daughter. So he writes over here that he would take his grandson for the upsharon. He would take the hair, and he would weigh it up against money and see how much it weighs. And that's what he would give to tzedakah. Then he quotes a similar practice from the Radvaz. The Radvaz was 1500s. This is not a new minhag. It might have been a very old minhag to measure and weigh the value of the kids here. Okay. Then I found a sefer called Oitzim and Hagir Yishurin. Oitzim and Hagir Yishurin was written by a rav in Pittsburgh the turn of the 20th century. He writes it this: Noigim shamestaper saroisav yechavshon b'tomim v'loyashlichim. Many people know if you go to people's homes and you look around their drawers, you'll find bags of hair. And you wonder why the bags of hair. Those are upsharing hairs. People have a practice that they don't destroy it, they don't throw it in the garbage, they keep it, they store the hair of the upsharing. Why? He says, look at Rashi Nechazkel Ches Gimel. So I looked Rashi Nechazkel Ches Gimel, I didn't see too much of an explanation. So I don't know. But that is definitely a very big practice today. You'll see people, they do not, everyone has, you go. You'll see bags, I remember as a kid, my parents were not Hasidic. We had bags and bags of kids' hairs. Okay, that was the reason. To keep it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's very, very popular today. Okay, I'm not sure why. Then he writes, Noigim, She'ei mistaprin hasaris betinak atshemaskul adover, v'shoiklin hasar v'noisin dumbo v'tztok. He says the same thing over here. You don't cut the hair until the kid starts to, atshemaskul adover, until the kid starts to talk. And again, you weigh it up against the tztoko, and he brings a reason for that based on the Gemara. Okay. But this is what, again, in the Hasidic circles, these are all different practices. Good. So Atkan, the sugya of the hair. Now let's talk on another sugya, which is found in early Rishonim. The Moshe, the Rekeach. The Rekeach was from the 12th century, Germany, Rishonim. Now that's why it's such an interesting sugya. The Rishonim all bring down, many Rishonim bring down, what we call today, Achnosas Lecheder. The second half of upsharing is the haircutting and all the shebang. Then there's bringing the kid to school or bringing him to a Rebbe for the first time. That second half is much better sourced than the first half. Not only is it better sourced, it's sourced in Rishonim. Sourced in Rishonim. One of those Rishonim was the Rekeach. The Rekeach was a German Rishon from the 12th century. Right? Rebbe Eliezer Migamaizo. Gamaizo is Worms. I never knew this. I read this today. Why is the name of a sefer Rekeach? Because Rekeach is Gematria Eliezer. There's a Zach, when you write a Sefer, you're supposed to try to get your name somewhere into the name of the Sefer. So if you ever read Agdoma to Svarim, you'll see how some of the names of Svarim, you're like, huh? And somehow they always have a chap and a trick, how they work their name into the Sefer. That's why I don't write Svarim. I can't figure out a way to get my name into that, I just don't write Svarim. But that and for a lot of other reasons. But in any case, so this is an interesting chap that I didn't try it out. I guess you can go home and try it out on your own. The word Rekeach is Gematria Eliezer. Because his name was Eliezer. So I also didn't realize, I learned about this, his wife and two daughters were murdered by the Crusades in 1177 in front of him. He watched it happen. Very, very, not 1177, later than that, 1197. Again, these Rishonim lived during the Crusades. We often forget about the life. We think the Rishonim, like, they sat behind a laptop, you know, sipping iced tea, you know, typing, which people do today. Baruch Hashem, you go to yeshivas, you'll see everyone sitting with a laptop, typing svarim, writing katrasim, publishing stuff, which is beautiful. But that's not what the Rishonim were doing. They were on the run, they were fighting for their life, they were this, that, and the other, and in the midst, they were able to produce some manuscripts for us to benefit from today. So we have from the Rekeach, and listen to what he brings down. This is not a Chassidish Rebbe, this is not 200 years ago, we're talking about 1100s. This is what he writes, unbelievable. He says, Minag Aviseinu, it's an alter minag. We bring the kids to learn on Shavuos. It's not what we do. Right? His minig was not the first time he gets his haircut or when he turns three. The first time he comes to some form of a structure learning is Shavuos morning. Shavuos morning, he writes before Alois HaShachar. Yeah, see how interested your wives will be to bring the kids at 4:30 in the morning, Shavuos morning, to someone to learn. And also Shavuos, you can't take any pictures, so that's going to be out. So he writes, the minig was on Shavuos. Why? The fishing in the Batayru. So that was the day we got Torah. Remesh shemechasin hanar shalayir akelav. That's another thing people do today, is they cover the child. So he shouldn't see any dover tummy. So my wife was very makbid on this. Good. So we have to cover my son. Very good. Fine. So we covered him. And we were crossing to the yeshiva, and a fire truck drove by. My son's obsessed with fire trucks. So someone said, fire truck. He's a fire truck. He popped up, threw the towels off. And a dog walked back by, ruined the whole thing. Okay. So I told my wife the whole thing is not negate, because he sees tons of dvarim to me. We're not, you look outside the window here. It's not like you're living, used to be, you lived on a farm. You didn't see anything. Here you look outside, you see people. He looks at the phone, he sees a computer. You're going to see dvarim to me no matter what you do. But okay, this is still the practice. It looks very cute in the pictures. You wrap the kid in the towels, but it's from Rishonim, the Rekeach. He writes, he's supposed to wrap the kid, so he shouldn't see a dog. So I live in Queens. There's a lot of dogs in Queens. So it's the wrong community to do this. You got to find a suburban community where there's not so many dogs. But by us in Queens, there's a lot of dogs. So we weren't zeich to get them past without seeing any dogs. Kaloi sashacha yoy matzeres. And Aloysa Shacha Shavuos morning is about 4 in the 4s. So, okay, if anyone wants to upshare at 4:15 a.m. Shavuos morning, don't bring it to me. Okay. He writes, Mivino Hana Orim Al Shom Bi Ayoy Saboy Kivy Kosu Brokim. Umichasin Oysi Tachas Mukutar Mivios on the basic nest. You cover him until he gets to Shul. Oyad Beisa Rav. Until he gets to the Rebbe's house. Al Shom Bi Ashem Bi Satsu Tachas Har. Venois Nois Bechega Shal Rav. You put him in the lap of the Rebbe. Hamashivan Lil Moir Al Shem Kasha Yisa Umer Sayenik Vanoichetag Imamish. Everything that we do corresponds to one of the Psukim. No, no, again, nothing to do with here. This minig has nothing to do with here. There's nothing to do with here, right? That's what I think is interesting about this. I don't know when they cut there, but we're finished. He writes, Umeivim, the noise, okay, beautiful. He says, Umeivim haluach shekasav alav aleph beis gimel. They bring a little plaque, a luach, a chalkboard, a board, where they have on it the aleph beis, and they have on it Torah tzivalanu, teim nasi v'yikra, el moishe v'kara, kol ois v'ois, min aleph beis v'atinik achruv. This is what they do. You ever go to a good upsharon, try to get a Chassidish Rebbe to do it. They're so good at this, right? I've got to go to a couple different yeshivas. I got to see different places. They're fantastic, these Rebbeim. Right? They do the Aleph Beis and the honey and all that. But this is all Rishonim. This is not made up by Rebbes. This is amazing. This is Rishonim. The Rekech was not a Chassidish Rebbe. He lived in Germany in the 12th century. He writes that we take the kid with the honey and the Aleph Beis and all that. Which is why it's funny, because he was a Yekka from Germany. And we said the Germans were against haircutting, but they can't be against this. This is right here. So he writes, they do that, and he goes on. It doesn't stop here. That's why photocopy is such a long shtickle. It gets even better. He writes, they go through all the aleph beis with the honey. Then, v'achkech mivino uga. They bring cake, cookies. I mentioned this to my wife. She said, no, don't even go there. I said, you want to bake some cake and cookies for everyone? That's what it says. You're supposed to bake cake and cookies and serve it. She wasn't really interested. Shenilusha b'dvash. It's supposed to be baked with honey. V'kos of alea Hashem Elohim. Nasan li loshan li mudim ladas loy. He says, yeah, I'm supposed to. He goes to more and more. Then he says, you bring in an egg that's cooked, and you peel it, and you give it to the kid, and you go through it, and you teach him, and he ends off. He says, v'koyre harav kol teva v'anar achrav u'machil anar ha'uga. You give the kid to eat the uga, v'abeitza ki toivu l'psichas alev. So it opened their heart to Torah. V'al yishan adam in aminag. And don't change from such a practice. You read this, you say, this is crazy practice. Who's doing this? Don't change. Now, what's even more amazing is the Rishonim who lived after this had a problem. Because they used to write psukim on the cookie. So that whole shayla, can you eat it on Yom Tov? Is it erasing? The Mordechai talks about this. One of the great Rishonim. So you see clearly this wasn't on a Tuesday, this was on Yom Tov.
But this is part of the
upsharing? No, so they don't say when this is. They don't say what age. Now, if you look in the Kolboy, now the Kolboy is fascinating. The Kolboy is one of the greatest collections of the times of the Rishonim, yet we don't know who the author was. It's still up for historical debate who exactly was the author of the Kolboy. The Kolboy came out much later. Right. You can. So the Beis Yosef thinks it was the Arches Chaim, but it's still up for debate. But it was one from the Rishonim. But again, it first came out years later. It came out in the end of the 1400s, but it's a classical sefer used. Look what he writes. Nagu. He gives us more details. The first time you take your son to yeshiva, you wash him, you put him in nice clothing. He says a bigger chiddush. They used to put milk into their bread. So if you look at the footnote on the Kolboy, it's what? You're not allowed to bake milk into bread. You're not allowed to bake milk. So he has a whole head to it. They used to make a mark on it. So you know, they used to give him over to a Talmud Chacham. Same shebang. You should lick off the honey from the letters, and then they give him back to his mother. Mamish, that's what they do. This is Mamish amazing. This is found in Rishonim. Yeah, that's what it is. We teach the kid at a young age, it's sweet. Again, every Rebbe has his own little shtick how he does it, but the basic thing is the honey, the aleph beis, the Torah tzivalanu, this is all found in these two great Rishonim. Very bekitzer, if you look over here in Shulchan Aruch, right, we forgot about that, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Yerideus, he writes, when are you supposed to start teaching your son? When he starts to talk. The moment the kid's able to talk, teach him Torah. Teach him. Teach him Torah Tzivalonu. V'yachakach malamdei ma'at, ma'at. Then you teach him a little bit. You don't want to overload the kid with information. Achi kiben shisha, kiben shiva, until he's 6 or 7, then you send him to yeshiva. Today we send the kids to school much, much earlier. That's for numerous reasons. Right? We send them out as soon as possible. That's because usually both parents are working and someone's got to watch the kids. But in any case, the chinuch should start as soon as the kid is able to understand. This is really, we asked a few weeks ago, this is against the whole medrash. The medrash says you don't teach him until three years. Here you see that as soon as the kids can learn, you teach him. Then the Mechaber writes later on, number 18, Machnisen atinoikis leslami ben chomei shonim shlemis. You bring the kid to yeshiva at 5. Ubepachas mikan e machnisen. You can't bring him to school before 5. For mukachos, if he's a weak kid, machnisen oise ben sheshonim. You bring him when he's 6 years old. Hago umikomok and miyad shiye ben sholi shonim shlemis. The moment he hits 3, melamden oise yisateira. So here we see that what? That the letters you're supposed to teach him when he's 3 years old. Kadeshi Yargil Atsame Likras Bateri, so he should be able to learn Torah. So the Shach, not a Chassidish Rebbe, Shach, 17th century, the Shach quotes this Rekech that we just saw earlier. The Shach writes, he quotes the whole Rekech that we saw. He says, V'loy Nogu Achshav Boisim Minhagim. We don't do these Minhagim, which means there was a time in history where it just like fell out to do it. He says, "Ubemakim shenog in the shanas." But if there is a community that has a practice, you shouldn't change it. Meaning, he was pointing out that avada we stopped doing like these rishonim, and I'll show you an amazing comment from Yaakov Emden in a second. But zok the shach. But it's not like it's crazy; it's just that we don't do it anymore. But if you have a makim that the meaning is to do it, zok the shach avada, you definitely should do it. That's right. The chayra. That's correct. That's correct. It's a combination factor. Okay. Now, just so we can, again, I want to finish this whole booklet in one shot. So we're just going to skip for a little bit to number 21, they quote from the Machzor Vitri. I could not find this Machzor Vitri in my Oitzach Chachman. I looked up and down, different prints. I couldn't find it. I don't know why. But the Machzor Vitri was a Talmud of Rashi. Again, writer, time of the Rishonim. And he writes something unbelievable. He writes that the day you bring your son to Torah is Ki'ilu Makriva Lefnei Harsinai. That's how big it is. It's like you're standing by Harsinai. Har Sinai. You know, we say we get to relive Har Sinai on Shavuos and on when we read Parshas Yisroi and whatever, but Lamaisa, this is a Ki'ilu Kivu Lefnei Har Sinai. He brings rise on the Psukim that the day you bring your son to the Torah is the day Ki'ilu Kivu Lefnei Har Sinai. If you look over here, number 22 from the Divrei Moshe Halbashtam, he makes the observation which we just pointed out, that the haircuts and bring him to Cheder have nothing to do with each other. They're two independent sugyas. And I'll prove it to you from the fact that, let's say, for example, the Yekis are not into haircuts, yet they can't deny what the German Rishonim write about bringing to Cheder. And many Litvishers I know are into bringing the kids to the Cheder, even though they're not into the haircut, because they're two separate sugyas. One has nothing to do with the other, even though many people today will not bring the kid to Cheder until he has his haircut. That's what a lot of people have to practice. They won't take the kid. Yeah, right. I think it has to do with that. You know, you look at the kid with the long hair. You're like, I'm not ready to be mechanachim. Even though, strictly speaking, the Divrei Moshe points out that he thinks that you maybe could be mechanach the kid, even though he has the long hair. Now, the last maramakam in this sugya, and this really is amazing, is Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived in the 1700s. Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived during one of the greatest generations of Torah. The Chassam Sofer said that Mashiach would have came in the 1700s because there was amazing, amazing amounts of Torah. Except for all the fighting that took place in the 1700s. Most of all the fighting in the 1700s was Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Mir Yitzchak Eibshitz, the Shatzai Tzvi movement, and then the end of the 1700s was the Hasidim with the Vilna Gaon. There was a lot of fighting that century, but there was a lot of Torah, an amazing amount of Torah. But look what Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes. So this to me was the Chiddush of the day. He writes, he quotes all the minhagim about the upshur, not the cutting here. He quotes the whole bringing to yeshiva and the covering and everything we saw in the Rekech. Source 23, left corner. He writes, "Haroya dvar malolu haloyake madua hetzlichu harishayin belibut teirasan." Why is it that the earlier generations were much more successful in producing gedolim? Was they affected by Yaakov Emden? This is the old kash. Why are we not producing more gedolim? Why are we not producing more gedolim? Right, probably. So he writes, "Shekol maseyem l'shem shemayim," because everything the earlier generations did were l'shma. Everything they did was ernst. It was right. They did what was right. They did the right thing. Everyone wanted their kid, Norva, my kid, to be a gadol b'teira.
So
says that's why they produce great kids, because that was their focal point, was I wanted my kid to only be a gadol, to learn Torah and everything. Why is not even one out of a thousand going on to be roi la hayra? Af agav de kulu tenuy ben izakin, even though everyone's learning. Umasnu buoktsin tleisa mesifta. Today is tons. Today we're talking about 1700s. There's tons of learning, and still we're not producing any great gedolim. Vehi anoy senes garden ben izikin lebduke buoktsay teinehem of action. He says because they're all learning for the wrong reasons. Ulechavid atzman dorshin. They're only learning for their own covet. The learning is not for the right reasons. They're not learning so they should know what to do. If you ask them a simple thing, they don't know. Says they're not learning because they want to really understand the sugya. They want to understand the sugya because they're going around saying, I understand the sugya. They want to say, I can say a better shtickle Torah than you. I know more than you. Not that they should know how to live their life. It's amazing.
Why is he writing this?
He's writing this because he thinks the reason for all this is because we weren't mechanach the kids right in the beginning. If we would have taken the kid to cheder from the get-go, if we would have done all this, then the kid would have been raised with a totally different outlook. He would have been raised with the Yerushalayim, it's about ma. The problem is we raise the kid with egos. So he says that you're not going to produce any big things. So,
the problem is we start at two now.
Right. I'm just... No, he's just saying he's bemoaning the fact that no one's doing it. That's what he's bothered with. He's bothered the fact that no one's doing what the Rishonim said to do. And he's saying if you guys would do what they did, you'd be like them. The problem is we're not doing like them and we're producing kids that are not like them. That's his article. That's his shtickle Torah over here. So he says, I just have a simple ha'ara. Let everyone do the way it's supposed to be. Hamas kashi yashkiv al atlochas b'nai kishay yichol beis harav yishiv al kanoi. Ubemez lo yadati madu abotlo minag anal mikolvuk. He says, I don't know why they stopped this minag. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived after the Shach. So he's pointing out, I don't know why we stopped bringing the kids to the cheder like this. He says, v'afim ha'minag achil sa'uga shiksuv malep psukim v'shem. Maybe you don't like the minag about eating the cake and the cookies with the names of the psukim. Fine. But the rest of it's good. Avukom ha'shikosim betchila atzif tez niru toy v'yoshar v'hogun ma'oid. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. V'eich niyesa kezoyis la'akadov v'noa v'yofar kezeh b'litam. Why are you just going to get rid of it? Ein zeh kiyem b'maysa machshov al esik alim al ha'yoshar v'atav. Unbelievable. So I'll give you back then, you want to know what's lacking in the chinuch? It's from the get-go, how we're mechanach the kids from a young age. If we mechanach them properly, they go to someone special, and they learn. So this is a scary, scary of Yaakov Emden. This should spook any litvak. But again, any litvak should read the Rishonim. You've seen the Rishonim already. They had this minig. Again, you can argue, oh, you've seen the times of the Shach, they didn't do it already. Okay, good. But Lamai said, it's definitely a interesting thing. Okay. So Adkan the sugya of upsharings. It took more weeks than I thought it was going to. But once we're already this close, so we have to talk about the other question. Why do we grow pace long? What's the Indian of long pace?
It sounds like more than a
four. Maybe. It really needs Hesber. If you think about it, Lamai, so there are different opinions where the Pasa Rosh is. So let's just make a number. Well, let's say it's over here somewhere, right? So good. So keep your pace to here. But why grow till here? What do you gain? So there's a Taisvus in Nazir, actually, number 24. Taisvus in Nazir writes, he says, you should be careful not to cut the pace even with a scissor. The sharp ikru kein takas might be like a razor, not our sugya. V'cheinogu ha'olam kishemegalchem atinoikis the shayir b'tzidei and harbe sa'arois. When they cut the kids, they leave a lot of hair. They leave a lot of hair. So it sounds like he's alluding to the notion of having long pace. But the shayla is why. So Tzvi Freimer, the great Eretz Tzvi, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Lublin after Meir Shapiro died. He's referred to as the Klozhigov Rebbe. I don't like referring to him that because he wasn't in Klozhigov for such a long time. But he was Rosh Hashiva in Lublin from when Meir Shapiro died until the Nazis took it over. And again, another person who died, Al-Kiddush Hashem, Rav Tzvi Freimer, died, they say, I don't know how they know this, but they say he died dancing into the, you know, on his way to the gas chambers, dancing with such a hislavos, with Azar Simcha, he was a Talmud of the Avdei Nezer, he was a big gadol, the Eretz Tzvi Freimer. So he comes up at Alam Neshavar over here. He says, you know why you have to have long payas? He says, it's medoyme to eating extra kazayas on Pesach. writes over here, he says, obviously, Meikar Adin, you don't have to have long pace. He writes, but he says, Ike'ein Shekosav Amaral Vashlo Len Yematzah. After Sagi, because I is, we come walking Komasha, Oichel Yoyser, Havei Bechlal HaMitzvah. Right, something like a Tesefis Mitzvah. So I found over here number 26 from the Sefer Pa'as Halach. He says, what are you talking about? Bishlama by matzah. The mitzvah is to eat matzah. So I eat more matzah. But again, what's the mitzvah of payas? It's not a positive mitzvah. It's don't cut off your payas. So once I have payas, we're finished. It's over. There's nothing more to talk about. So he doesn't understand the tzushtel that Tzvi Furman makes to why he calls that the Tesefis Mitzvah. If you take a look on the last page, again, he quotes the tshuva from the Debrei Tzina Rav. The Debrei Tzina Rav basically says that he doesn't understand why the Me'ikra Adin, he doesn't think you have to have long pace. But he writes, it shows that there's Yiras Hashem upon him. And I wrote over here, the tshuva was written, Yoim Aleph, the Sefer V'Nasati is Brisi Shalim, Shnaz Tov Shin Dalad, Po Debrei Tzin. Now that's 1944 in Debrei Tzin. Where was Debrei Tzin? Hungary. This is Mamish right before. This is this week's parasha. Parsha is B'chukaisen. We're talking about Mamish right before the Nazis moved in. He wrote this tshuva. It's pretty amazing. Mamish right before he fled. The Debrei Tzin Rav fled Hungary, and he ended up moving to Borough Park, where he's not alive anymore, but he has a shul, the Be'er Moshe shul. But he Mamish writes this tshuva. It's just an amazing thing to think about. He's in the middle of writing a tshuva. The world is coming to an end in their world, and he's writing a tshuva about, you know, this goes back to what we mentioned earlier. It's amazing. This is Mamish, this week's parsha, Haitika Parsha. He wrote this tshuva. Then he writes another tshuva, where he says that the reason why people have long payas is because of the Marsham. The Marsham was told by another gadol that it's a skula. Having long payas is a skula of Arichas Yomim. Okay. So Rav Moshe Shternbach has a tshuva where he wants to know, can parents force their kids to cut their long payas? So remember, we had this by Chodesh, right? How much can parents get involved in their children's chumras? So Rav Moshe Shternbach is not convinced that a parent has the right to force the child to cut the long. Again, if payas, long payas is a mitzvah, so the parents can't tell you not to keep a mitzvah, but if it's not a mitzvah. So maybe the parents' kibbutz of aim does override the idea of the payas. So that's what he talks about over here at the end of the tshuva, but we'll have to maybe we'll have a separate share one day about hair cutting, and then we'll come back to the sugya. Mitzvah, next week's share is going to be about the idea of should you buy Jewish? Do you have to hire Jewish and buy Jewish? Are you not allowed to go to non-Jewish stores if there are Jewish stores in the neighborhood? Do you have to hire Jewish workers and non-Jewish workers? Very touchy topic. So you definitely don't want to miss it. Mr. Shem, next week we'll cover that song.